defenseman Jamie McCowan joins us. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Thank you for inviting me on.
Hey, I appreciate you coming back on. It was interesting. Ilya Brizgalov came out today and said that Minnesota's practices are much more up-tempo than Edmonton. I want to go back to when you played, Jamie. And you, are you a believer that you practice how you play? And how were the Bob Johnson practices?
Well, you know what? Bob Johnson was kind of at the forefront of change in the NHL. When, you know, coming out of the colleges in the U.S., I mean, his whole philosophy was different. It came from the ground up where the typical guy at that time would still have the steak and maybe even a beer in the afternoon before a game. You know, he was all about getting the bananas into you and the proper protein shakes and all those sorts of things. So when it came to practices, he didn't leave anything unturned, and he really used the videos to analyze the deficiencies in the other teams. And you spend, you know, hours and hours working on power plays. Well, unfortunately, not me personally, but I was on the other end of it. And you'd be working it forever, wondering why you had to learn a certain thing. And suddenly, you know, a week later, you'd be playing a team, and it would work perfectly against that team. And, you know, it's amazing how some people can see so far ahead.
Did you guys compete hard? Like, you know, Poplinski, yourself, Otto, you know, were those intense practices? Did you guys go at each other a bit?
You know what? The idea you hear once in a while now that, you know, two guys on the same team will have a quick fight. And, you know, our team was no different. You know, we were, you know, a lot of good guys that were offensive-minded. We had a lot of good guys that were defensive-minded. And, you know, obviously in some practices you had to play against each other a fair bit, and the sticks got up or they got down, they got between the legs. And, you know, there was more than one bloody nose that happened in practices of some of the teams that I played with.
Who was one of the more intense guys that you practiced with?
Well, you know what? It's funny. We had a pretty young team when we were in Calgary. And, you know, there was probably 9 guys or 10 guys on our team that were all under 25. So we loved hanging out together, and we loved, you know, going to have dinner together and what have you. But on occasion, you'd have issues. And, you know, Al MacInnis, you know, he was a hell of an athlete. And I think he's a classic example of a guy who had some raw talent and literally spent hours and hours and hours practicing his shot and practicing how to stick handle and practicing how to skate. I mean, you wouldn't think that would be something that a guy in the NHL would do, but he was out there practicing, and it kind of a throwback to, you know, when Wayne Gretzky would be practicing on the back of his mom and dad's yard there in a rink that they had built, and he just kept on practicing and practicing, even though he was probably way better than most of the kids at that age, you know, in his area.
Jamie McCowan joins us. Jamie, You weren't drafted. You know, you played for Ohio State University. When you went to Ohio State, were you still thinking pro career at that point?
You know what? I wasn't thinking pro career at all. I was one of those guys. I was a late bloomer, both physically and I guess skill wise, if you believe I had any skill. And when I was leaving high school, I was still, you know, a small guy and relatively late. And back in that day, you know, there weren't too many guys that were playing of small stature. And it wasn't until I got hurt in my second year, I blew my knee out. And the next week I'm in the stands, and some guys came up in the trench coats, just like the, you know, the old movies. And they're like asking me my name and what am I doing, and then what was my injury. And they kind of said, oh, that's too bad. You know, we were here to take a look at you. And he was, you know, the guy from Boston, a guy from St. Louis, and suddenly you're like, whoa, you're here to look at me. Like, why would you be looking at me? You know, I was like, we got lots of good players. And it was at that time I realized that if I'm lucky and I heal properly and I spend a little bit extra time in the gym and what have you, I might have a chance. So it was literally less than a year before I turned, well, about a year before I turned pro that I first realized I might be able to make it.
After that conversation from scouts that caught you off guard, did your dedication and focus change instantly?
Absolutely. I mean, even at that time, I mean, the salaries were good compared to your average, you know, Joe. And I think guys graduating with degrees out of college at that time were making about $25,000 to $30,000 in the early 80s. And, you know, I knew that, you know, a worst case scenario would be twice or three times that much in the NHL. So it and part of the deal I had when I left college was that the team, whichever team it was, would pay for my schooling to go back to school.
Okay.
So it was the best of both worlds. Give it a shot, and if it happens, it happens. If I got sent to the minors, I was going to quit and go back to school.
Jamie McCown joins. That's so unique because I don't know if that's even around now because the signing bonuses and, you know, entry-level contracts are so big. That's probably not even a part of it. Was that your parents who wanted that factor, or was that you, Jamie, who wanted that security of, if it doesn't work out, I want my college paid?
I think it was a combination of both. I mean, my parents were always good enough to let us make our own decisions. Three boys all played hockey and all relatively good players, but all have gone on to be successful in other things. And, you know, I just wanted the idea that, hey, if I go, I mean, one of the things I had in my contract with Cliff Fletcher was the first year that I came up with, which was going to be a half year, they couldn't send me to the minors. And I thought it made perfect sense, but it was almost unheard of at the time. And so I got into 20 games, or I think it was 22 games my first year, and they had a chance to see me. And they knew they couldn't send me down, so they figured they might as well play me and see what I was all about. So nowadays you get these kids, I mean, unless you're a first-round pick with a big contract, a lot of these kids go up and down to the minors for a number of years, and I just didn't want that to happen.
Jamie McCown joins us, played 1,128 games in the NHL, another 159 in the playoffs. Of course, went to the Stanley Cup Final twice, winning once with the Calgary Flames in 1989. You also had some really good runs with the Maple Leafs, Jamie. Everybody remembers, of course, 1993, the Kings and the Leafs, an epic series, really. You know, you had Doug Gilmore, you had Wendell Clark fighting Marty McSorley. And for you, you must have been like, are you kidding me? I could never get away from Gretzky and McSorley. You battled them in Calgary, and then somehow you battled them in Toronto and L.A.
Yeah, you know what? And, you know, Marty and I have become friends since then, and it's amazing because I think maybe some of the best hockey that Marty ever played was that series against us. And, you know, you don't like to admit it too much, but that is the truth. And, you know, with a little bit of luck, you know, Toronto probably should have won that series. And, you know, going up against Montreal, which would have been the finals, it would have been maybe the last time those two teams ever face each other in the finals, it would have been just a great thing for Canada. But, you know, there's the undercurrent always was that, you know, the league was happy that L.A. made it because, you know, they're helping push the South and get hockey going better in California. Whether there's any truth to that, I don't know. You know, if that's where, you know, it's like Area 51 or whatever, you know, who knows what actually happened.
Jamie McCown joins us. Jamie, everybody knows the Oilers and the Flames, the epic battles they had. A lot of them not as much great goals as it was great line brawls and fights and Hunter and Semenko and Messier and Poplinski. You weren't a guy who fought a ton, but obviously if you're in the Battle of Alberta, everybody fought a few times. You had a reputation of being a very competitive guy. Who are the guys that you really, you know, you look back on now, and I'm sure you're friends with, but at the time in the battle, you're like, man, this guy, I just, you know, if I could, I'd take his head off.
Well, you know what? Dave Hunter works down here in Calgary, you know, 3 to 4 days a week in the oil patch. And so I've had a chance to get to know him, and I knew his brother Mark, of course. And he was one of those guys I hated. He just was always chirping at you. I mean, he was very effective in his role. You know, obviously that team had so much talent. You can only have so many guys in their top six. And but he was one of those players who went out there, did his job, and you know, sometimes it happens in all walks of life. You know, the grinder, the guy that's there consistently every day, willing to do whatever it takes to win or get the job done, oftentimes gets overlooked. And, you know, as great as the Edmonton teams were, you know, I still say that, you know, where Calgary, everybody pulled together 100%. You know, oftentimes, you know, the big names got all the publicity, but it was the guys like the Lindsmans or the Dave Hunters or the Dave Semenkos that really made that team click.
Jamie McCown joins. Jamie, I never asked a Flame player this. Was Glenn Sather, was he a chirpy coach at all in those Battle of Alberta, or did he let the players talk for him?
He always had that look on his face, right? You know, he always said, so, I mean, as a young guy coming into the league, I mean, Glenn had some respect from, you know, most of the other GMs, I'm assuming, in the league. So, and they were a good, strong team. But, you know, being initiated into the NHL in Calgary, you know, job one was you hated Edmonton, right? And job two, you hated everybody that liked Edmonton, right? So, you know, since then, obviously, we've got a chance to meet quite a few people that lived in Edmonton or live there still. And obviously, you know, some great people up there. More of a blue-collar community versus Calgary, which is a little bit more white-collar. But, you know, you say whatever you want. I mean, results are what counts. And somehow, somewhere, you know, his team managed to get the draft right, and they drafted enough good players that they became a dominant force. And unfortunately for Calgary, you know, if Edmonton hadn't been there, you know, who knows? Calgary might have won four or five cups.
Yeah, those really kind of disappointing. Good in a way for fans, because I love the fact the NHL is going back to the four divisions, Jamie. I think that's really how rivalries are growing. On the other hand, it might have been better to see Calgary and Edmonton in Stanley Cup finals rather than in the second round of the playoffs.
Well, and that's unfortunate because, you know, it used to be you come into Death Valley, which they used to call Alberta, because teams, no matter what they were doing, they could be on an eight-game winning streak, and then they'd come in and play Calgary-Edmonton, and then they whimper on their way home because they get destroyed. And really, the two teams, I think, for the most part of the 80s, the two best teams in the league were sitting in Alberta. And it's unfortunate that for a lot of the, you know, the fans in the hockey world, they really didn't see a lot of those two teams. And when one of them was getting knocked off early every year, you know, it was a shame that that couldn't have been the final.
Jamie, I want to talk a little bit quickly about you'll be coming to town in just over a month's time, about 5 weeks, for the Alzheimer's Face-Off. I know you've been a part of it before. What do you look forward to in this weekend? And tell us why somebody should draft you on their team.
Oh, I don't know if I could tell anybody to draft me, but you know what? I laugh all the time because I say, you know what? Of the limited amount of goals I got, whatever that was, like 80 goals, I said, you know, 90% of them came as a slap shot from the point. I said, you're not allowed to take slap shots in the Alzheimer's, so I'm limited on how many goals I'm going to get. But you know what? It's fun. You get to tell a lot of stories, and every team that participates, they have great rapport with the different players, and they oftentimes will have even rovers that'll go into different dress rooms as well. So when you raise your money, when you get onto a team and make that draft, even if you don't draft one, two, or three, you're still going to have a great time, and you're going to raise money for a great cause. And unfortunately, Alzheimer's seems to be one of those things that just keeps coming at us in waves. And every year you hear statistics which get worse and worse as far as people having to get support.
Jamie, always good to talk to you. We'll look forward to seeing you on April 11th at the draft.
All right. Hopefully I'll see you there. And I think, are you helping me MC that, or...?
I know I've been asked I might be, so yeah, it could be fun. You did very well last year. I don't know. Might just have to hold the mic for you. You can do all the talking. That'd be fun.
You know what? I was going to say the same thing. You just hold the mic for her. All right. Well, we'll see you in a few weeks.
You betcha.